from 31 to 46, and is found on 995 in the Church Bible. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as the sheep separated the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needed clothes, or ill, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Here in the reading of God's word. Praise God.
Thank you very much. Well, please do keep your Bibles open there, and let's pray, shall we, as we come to think more about God's word here. Father God, we thank you for this story about the sheep and the goats, and we pray, Father, that you'll give us ears to hear this morning, and to help us to know deep within how much you love us, but how much we should love you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, where did I put my sheep and goats? I've lost them already. Let me get a couple here. Get one. This morning, we're going to be thinking about love. Real love. And we're going to be doing that with the help of some sheep and goats. And love always starts, doesn't it, in the mind, in the heart. But then love starts there, but it will show itself in its actions. That's true in lots of situations. It's true for a husband and wife. So let's put up the first picture, please, Caris. So how might that help? How might a husband be showing love there to his wife? Any ideas? Go on, Sam, nice and loud. Exactly. It's one classic way that a husband can show love for his wife. What about this next one? Hugely important one. What's going on there? How's a husband showing love to his wife there? Having a cuddle. Exactly. So, so important. What about the next one? What are they doing there? They're chatting. Exactly. Just simply making time to talk to each other. And there could be other things. It could be praying together, sharing a hobby, sharing struggles together. So many ways that love can be shown. Well, in our true story from the Bible this morning, We're going to see what it looks like to love, to have real love for Jesus. In our hearts, yes, but the emphasis this morning is also in love in action as well. Love for Jesus, but also love for fellow Christians. But before we get there, Jesus wants to show us how important this love is first. So first he tells us this. There are two eternal destinations. Or to put it slightly simpler, there are two places where we can go forever. Let me just read, please, from chapter 25 and verse 31 again. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. So Jesus here is talking about when he comes back, and he's going to be sat on a glorious throne, which will, I don't know if it will look exactly like this. And if Jesus is sat on a throne like that, what does that make Jesus? What does that mean he is? Go on. A king, exactly. And I'm sorry, I forgot. I have got some little goodies for people who answer questions. So there you go, Sammy. A king, exactly. And there we are. We've got a crown as well. We don't know if that'll be his exact crown. But yes, Jesus, he's going to be a great king. And we get told that also in verse 34. And also verse 40 as well. Jesus, the king, will come back to earth. And as I say that, I feel a song is coming on. So we're going to stand to sing. Guess which song? Who's the King of the Jungle? Exactly. So we're just going to pause the sermon and let's stand to sing this next song. And if you like, let's do some actions as well.
Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I tell you, J-E-S-U-S.
Yes!
He's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea?
Well, as we just sung, Jesus is the king of everything, as it says in verse 32 of our reading. He's the king of all nations. So when Jesus comes back to earth, all people will be gathered to him. And they're going to be separated into two groups. Let me read from verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. And just as the children did earlier, Jesus is going to collect in all the people and he's going to separate them into two groups. And they're not going to be real sheep, are they? They're going to be some people on one side, and on the other side, we're going to have all the goats. So we're going to have the sheep and the goats, two separate groups. And then this is what Jesus will say to the sheep, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, this is the sheep, come you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. These are God's people who are going to share in God the Father's inheritance. They will enjoy everlasting life, they will enjoy heaven and the new creation forever. So that's one group, one destination, represented by the sheep. But then we get the other group. And there we've got the goats, exactly. And when Jesus says goats here, he's not talking about the greatest of all time. It's a bit of a phrase that I've come to learn recently, but he's talking about the creatures, bah, right? Representing people. And let's look at verse 41. Then they will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And this is really, really sad. They have to depart from God's presence. They have to depart from all God's gifts and blessings. And their destination, he doesn't use the word here, but this is what Jesus is talking about, is hell. And that's terrible. The most loving man who has ever walked this earth knows and tells people who are listening in then and tells us today there are two groups of people in this world with two destinations after we die. Heaven and hell. They are real and very serious. And for us today, it's very simply, will we accept Jesus' conclusion here? There are only two destinations. There isn't a secret third one, sort of in the middle, for people who sort of believe in God or sort of go to church every so often. No, there's just two destinations. And did you notice who decides where people go? It's Jesus. Oh, here we go. Well done, Eileen. Right? It's Jesus. It's the King. It's not Mike Walton. It's not any of our bishops. It's not yourself or even your favourite Christian author. It is Jesus. Now, elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that sometimes we need to make judgment calls on whether someone is a genuine Christian or not. And there are times for that. But it is only Jesus who can look into a person's heart and say for definitively, sheep or goat, heaven or hell, King Jesus' call. And very, very thankfully, not ours. Now, we know from all over the Bible, Jesus will be looking into people's hearts and he will be looking to see if they really trust him, really believe in Jesus, really have a biblical faith, really love him. He'll know whether that is true or not, the difference between the sheep and the goat. But before we continue, let me just say, if you don't think you're taking Jesus seriously, Jesus would love that to change. If you have any questions, please do ask. But as we look at the rest of this passage today, Jesus wants to emphasize the word real, real belief, real love. And our second point this morning, real love for Jesus will lead to loving action. Let me read from verse 34 again. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. You see, real love isn't primarily about fuzzy feelings. Real love means action. Now, children, I need your help again here. So, can you come and help us, Anna? Could you come and help? Yeah, come on. Can you? I think you're a big girl. You could come and do this by yourself. Come on. You want to come to the front? Oh, well done. Here we go. Now then, Hosanna, I want to pretend that this is the only set of clothes I've got, right? I've borrowed these off somebody else, and I really need some clothes. If you were to care for me, what would you bring me if I needed some, if I had no clothes? What might you bring me? Can you pick them up? If I've got no clothes, what do I need? If I've got no clothes. Could you bring me those shorts? Would I need a new pair of shorts if I've got no clothes? Would you? Thank you very much. That's what I'd need. That would be really caring, wouldn't it? Now, Hosanna, let's pretend I'm really hungry and I've not eaten since Friday. Now, what would you bring me if I've not had any food since Friday? Would you bring me that or that? If I've not had any food? Would you bring me the cake? That would be so good. I'm so hungry. I would need some cakes. Thank you so much for caring for me. Brilliant. And you know, one last thing, Hosanna. I've not had a drink. I'm gagging. I'm really thirsty. Now, what would you bring me if I'm really thirsty? How would you show that you cared for me? What might you bring me? Would you bring me the teapot for a cup of tea? Oh, that'd be brilliant. Thank you. Can you bring them over here? Oh, that's so kind of you. To look after me so, so well. Brilliant. Hosanna, you've done such a good job there. Would you like to come and choose a quick sweet? You did a really good job. Great. Could you just help? Give Hosanna a clap. She did that. Could you help her choose one? Thank you. Exactly. Real love shows itself in real action. And the people listening to Jesus understood this, but they were a bit confused because they thought, wait on, I've never brought food to Jesus, or I've never taken clothes to him. But Jesus answers with verse 40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, when Jesus here is talking about brothers and sisters, he isn't talking about his brother James or his other brothers and sisters who have got Mary and Joseph as their parents. Jesus is talking about fellow Christians, spiritual brothers and sisters adopted into his family. And that is one big family. You know what I mean? That's even just a snapshot of God. You know what I mean? There's loads more people than that in Jesus' family around the world. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you're my brother and sister. I'm your brother. I'm your family. We all have Jesus living inside us. And children, if you're a friend with Jesus, that includes you too. Hosanna, I'm your big brother. Now, isn't that a strange thought? I think that's quite cool, actually. But this is really important because if any of us are struggling, we are there to help in some way. We're there to help a brother or sister. And we to do so as if we're helping Jesus. So let's make this really concrete. It would be a terrible, terrible thing if someone in our church family was going hungry. Now, I don't think there is at the moment. I'm not aware of that being the situation. But that could change in the future, couldn't it? And if it does, if we love Jesus, yes, we can offer advice and help in that way, but we must also offer food or money to buy food. And what about further afield? There are Christians in other parts of the world today who I'm sure are going hungry. Now, Jesus knows we can't help everyone. But do we love Jesus enough to help at least some of those fellow Christians? You sort of think, how? Well, Barnabas Aid is a Christian charity that is really good at helping with that. There may be others as well. Real love for Jesus will lead to loving action. But then Jesus also says the opposite is true as well. We're going to look at the goats now in verse 42. Verse 41. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. And skipping to verse 45, he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. A lack of love for Jesus' family shows a lack of love for Jesus. Now, time is short, and it's an all-age service today, and therefore the sermon has to be a bit shorter as well. And there's lots more that could be said here, but let me just mention one. Jesus understands if somebody is a new Christian, or if you've been a Christian a while and you've not had time to think this through. Please don't panic. Jesus is in the business of making his followers more like him. And that might be one of the ways he's working this morning in you. But if you've heard this type of thing before, and Jesus' family really don't mean that much to you, that you'll be ready to love in practical ways, and you have no intention of changing, Jesus' warning is very, very real. Please take it seriously. Because real love for Jesus will lead to love in action, especially for Jesus' family. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the clarity that Jesus brings here. Two destinations. And our love for Jesus shown in practical ways to his family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray, Father, help us to see, give us eyes to see where we need to be able to help or where we can help. May our church family and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ grow in at their meaning to us, help our love to grow for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.